Are you ready? Are you ready to take massive action towards building a life and lifestyle that rewards you with a fit body, endless supplies of mental and physical energy, and total freedom from guilt around food and exercise? This is Cut the Fat Podcast.
Welcome, everyone. You are tuned in to a brand new Cut the Fat podcast episode. Dr. Raymond Heinisch and I are in the studio, and we want to welcome all of you guys. Say hi, Ray.
Hey, guys. How is everybody doing? Great, I hope. How you doing, Blythe?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. How about yourself?
Doing great. Doing great. Ready for another episode. What's today's topic?
We are going to be talking about top mindset shifts for lasting, that's a key word there, weight loss success.
Awesome. Great. So what kind of spurred this topic for you?
You know, I think everybody wants you to just kind of tell them what to do. And I really wish it were that easy. But what we can do is line up, make a little list, take some notes and line up what you need to do to make it that this time your weight loss success is lasting.
Right. And I also like to say that if the only thing your program does is help you lose weight, there's something missing. Because every program that is going to lead to lasting success with weight loss has to change you in some way. It has to change your life in some way. It cannot just be about the chemistry of your body. A lot of the battle with weight loss is fought in the head. And you and I, whenever we're coaching people, whenever we're talking to people about this, we hear it and we see it almost immediately. Everybody wants the strategy. They want the exercise, or they want the fitness equipment. What's the best fitness equipment? What's the best diet? And all that stuff is great. There are some really great tools. There's a lot of great information out there. But none of that matters if we can't get you to do it consistently over and over and over again, right?
That's right. So we're going to start down at the roots, and mindset shifts is where that begins.
Because these mindset shifts are really about changing you at the level of your operating system, right?
That's exactly what I was trying to say. Yes.
All right. Well, let's do it. Go ahead and jump into number one.
Okay. Well, number one is not going to surprise anybody, but I really want you to listen, not to just what I'm going to say we're going to change the mind shift at, but the explanation that comes after. So you need to come up with a why you are doing this. Now, there are two sides to the why. The first side is, why are you deciding that now is the time to make these changes? And why didn't you follow through last time? So knowing why you didn't follow through is going to be part of your why moving forward, because we're not going to go there anymore. So you really need to kind of change the view of yourself. I would like everyone to kind of think about their core identity, who they are, and why at the deepest level they are choosing to think about weight loss differently this time around.
Right. We like to say that it's easy to fall in love, right? But it's hard to stand in love. It's hard to stay there, right? It's hard to stay in the relationship. And so many people, they get caught up in the whole concept of falling in love that they don't really work on the most important component of that, which is standing in love when times get tough. With weight loss, you kind of see the same kind of thing. It's easy to lose weight, but it's hard to maintain that. It's hard to stand in that weight loss, right?
Absolutely.
And when we're starting to lose weight, it's like falling in love. There's a whole lot working in your favor. When you're starting to lose weight, there's a lot working in your favor. Usually, there's a lot of low-hanging fruit, and the weight loss happens abruptly and quickly at first because you're burning what we call the easy fat. But then, inevitably, it always slows down and always stalls at some point. And so, in order to get through that, in order to get through that abyss, if you will, you have to have something pulling you, right? When you start the weight loss process, it's usually push motivation. It's usually usually something is pushing you away, right? You want to you're trying to move away from something you don't want. And if you don't simultaneously build that why, that thing that you want, that thing that you want deeply in your heart to pull you forward when you are having the difficulty, when you're having the stagnation, when you're suffering with the mental challenges of everything,
right?
Then you can't succeed long term. You just can't. That's why you have to change the why. You have to figure out, what is it that drives me? Where is my leverage? It's not always health, by the way. People think, well, you know, if I don't change this, I'm going to die. I'm going to have a heart attack. That rarely works to motivate people. Even in people who have had a heart attack, almost always they go back to their old way of living after the heart attack. Now, for the first few weeks, they'll be fine. But then after this first few weeks, things start to creep back. Their old ways start to creep back because they haven't connected to the big why, to the big thing that means so much to them.
That's exactly right. And that was a great way to explain that. That's why number one is why, because that's the most important. It's the seed. So I want everybody to start there. Number two, and this is my personal favorite one, is lose the word diet from your vocabulary. You're not on a diet. You're changing the way you're living. You are changing the way you eat. You are making conscious choices. Lose the word diet. It's so taboo, I guess. It's so temporary is what it is to me. Diet is temporary.
That's exactly right. And that's where the problem comes in. If you're on a diet, if you go on a diet, it means eventually you're going to go off the diet, right?
So that's right.
And besides, it's not all about the food. And we've said that in our core guiding principles, one of them being there are calorie-free reasons why we gain weight. And there are calorie-free reasons why we lose weight. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a good example. You know, we know that people who don't sleep, they have difficulty losing weight, even when they consume fewer calories than they need, because their body has a tendency to change its chemistry depending upon the experience that it's bathed in your life. So it's more than just diet, number one. And number two, when we think in terms of diet, of going on a diet, we also have to simultaneously, if not subconsciously, think in terms of eventually going off of that diet.
That's right. Yeah. So lose the word diet from your vocabulary. I have another one coming up. Number three is what I was calling it. It's the how and the strategy. So the do's and don'ts, basically. And I have some good tips. And, you know, you and I agree on most of these. Number one is don't scale obsess. Don't become obsessed with the scale. However, if you're the type of person that uses a scale as a tool and you don't get too attached to the number, weighing often can be very, very helpful. So by don't scale obsess, I mean, don't let your scale dictate your mood for the day or your behaviors for the day, for that matter. You know, if you step on the scale and you're 2 pounds up from yesterday, first thing the next morning, then don't let that dictate, I'm already up in weight. I might as well eat whatever I feel like eating today, or I might as well skip my workout this morning, or I might as well not go to the grocery store and pick up those items that I really wanted to do. You know, you put things off because of the scale, which completely changes your mood and usually isn't helpful. It doesn't help you take a step closer toward your goal.
Log the data and then forget about it.
There you go.
That's all Perfect. It is. It's just information that we can use. I like the daily. In our weight loss group, we recommend daily weigh-ins. And the reason we do that is because, number one, they're not alone. So when they log that data into our progress tracker, then, you know, you and I can go in there and visualize that and see how things are changing for them. If they're not changing, then we can consult with them and see if we can't help them make some progress. So they're not alone. That's number one. Number two, we're really big in the community about getting rid of this concept of good and bad. A weigh-in that doesn't move or a weigh-in that goes up is not bad. It's information. It tells us a little bit about ourselves. And I was reading one of our members was talking about how she had gained some weight and lost inches. Another one was saying, well, I gained weight, but I know why. She's thinking in terms of why did this happen? And she knows how to correct for that based on the why, on the why it happened.
Right. And that information can help you. You can look at that and see trends that happen. Maybe there's a certain week out of the month, you know, if you're ovulating or something, that you gain weight. Maybe it's, you know, it's always after date night and you go out and have pizza with your husband or wife or something like that. So it creates a visual tool that you can track. That's why we call it the progress tracker, but that you can reflect back on and see patterns. And that's also very important. That helps you kind of get around the whole idea of why we use the scale. You know, it kind of takes you full circle, being able to look back and reflect. So that's really important.
So the do and the don't is do measure, but don't get worked up about about a single measurement.
Yes, and don't scale obsess is what I said. Mm-hmm. Do focus on better health, because with a healthy body comes a healthy weight. That's one of my favorite phrases. And the don't to that side is don't negative self-talk. So negative self-talk would be, like I said just a moment ago, about the scale. You know, I'm 2 pounds up. Doesn't really matter anyway. Or I don't fit in those pants. I'm too fat. Or, you know, things like that. You wouldn't ever talk to anybody else like that. Why talk to yourself that way?
Absolutely. So you can positive self-talk. We're okay with that.
Right. Yeah.
But not negative self-talk, because number one, it serves nobody, including yourself. And number two, in our minds, we somehow think that negative self-talk helps us, that it somehow fuels us to make progress. And in the beginning, maybe it does. Maybe that's what we call that push motivation, moving away from something. Mm-hmm. But that is a starting line kind of tactic. It is not the kind of thing that works when you're in the grind, when you're in the, you know, in the works. You've got to let go of that desire to try to guilt yourself into progress. It just doesn't work. It only gets you off the starting line. Then after you're off the starting line, you need that something else, that big why, to pull you forward. So just really let go of that.
Yeah. So I was doing a little bit of research for this podcast, and I found a study. It was in the 2015 Journal of Obesity. That people who focus on a particular body part actually avoid exercise more often. So the don't here is don't focus on that one trouble spot. If you're trying to lose the spare tire around your waist, don't look at that in the mirror every single time, give it a jiggle and go about your day. Try to focus on something else. Focus on something positive. Pick a place on your body that you know changes more quickly, because it's usually the trouble spots that are the last to go. So it's kind of like, you know, never seeing the light at the end of the tunnel when you're on the journey. So pick somewhere that you can, where you can, you know, you will see change, and focus on that. Shift your focus.
I love that.
Yeah. Thanks. The next one. Reward yourself with something other than food. And this is going to sound very crass, but I saw it somewhere, so I'm not the person who invented this. You are not a dog. Don't reward yourself with food. Okay, because we give our dogs treats, right? We're not dogs, but I love dogs. But we're not going to reward ourselves with food. Find something else that you enjoy so you can treat yourself. Maybe it's a facial or a manicure, or maybe you like to go for a walk on the beach and take your shoes off, walk in the sand. Treat yourself to doing something that you enjoy that isn't food. Shift your focus. Don't think, I had a great, great week of eating, I'm going to go pig out. How about, I had a great week of eating, I'm going to treat myself to a pedicure.
And on that same line, don't medicate yourself with food either. So, you know, when you feel important. Good and when you feel bad, those are the two points where most people have difficulty with eating the right kinds of foods, because they're medicating the pain with food. It is the fastest path to feeling better. No matter what, there is no faster path to feeling better. The problem is, it is very, very temporary.
Yes. And it takes you a few steps away from the goal that you're trying to get to when you do that. Okay, the next one, meditate, do yoga, go for a walk, something to reset your focus. So I call it hitting the reset button. You need to find what triggers you to be able to just step back, take a deep breath, and reset your focus. So here's a good example. We are at work and we're on our computer and you start getting overwhelmed with all of the emails coming in. And at some stage, you're like, I just need to get up, walk away from my desk for a moment, and go use the restroom. Like, I need to go do something to take myself out of this cycle of overwhelmingness that I'm starting to feel. So you get up and walk away. You can do that in your life too. You can do that in the middle of dinner. You can do it whenever you want to do it. But knowing that that's a tool that you can use is where we're going to start. So find your reset button. What can you do today that will help you reset your focus?
And the same thing holds true when you feel like you've let yourself down, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, if you've let yourself down, don't ever let an obstacle turn into an excuse to give up on whatever program you're doing. By the way, you know, it's very, very rare when the right solution is giving up entirely on a particular program that you're following. Almost always, it's really about iterations and tweaking. So you might tweak 80% of the program, you know, so right. It may be a big tweak. Sometimes that has to happen. But for the most part, you never want to give up on what you're doing. You want to take the lessons that you've learned from whatever you're doing and then build on those. So the worst diets in the world, you know, can have information that you can use and that you can build on. So never don't think in terms of just giving up and moving to the next. Think in terms of how can I make this better?
Very good. And the last one I have is treat yourself like you would treat a friend. So earlier in this podcast, I was talking about negative self-talk and how you wouldn't ever speak to a friend of yours that way. Really take a moment to think about how you treat yourself. We often get so caught up taking care of everyone else that you leave yourself on the back burner or you do everything for everyone else before you get to yourself. Treat yourself, view yourself as your best friend. And I think a lot of people forget to do that. It sounds so simple and it doesn't sound like much of a task, but try it because it takes a lot more conscious effort than you think.
Right. Like drinking water, we like to say that imagine there was a plant your size and weight. Do you think the amount of water that you give yourself would be sufficient to keep that plant alive? And the most common answer is no, it wouldn't. It would wither and die. And the same thing, and that's one reason why we say drink as much water as it would take to water the plant your size. And the same thing goes with, you know, visualizing, you know, this idea that you should treat yourself as a friend. Imagine seeing your best friend worn down, seeing your best friend tired and fatigued because she's taking care of everybody. What kind of advice would you give that person? Take it. Take that advice yourself, because that is what a lot of us end up doing. And because we know that we can never divorce ourselves,
right?
We allow ourselves to abuse ourselves. And yeah. So, you know, always think in terms of imagining yourself over there in the corner weeping. What kind of advice could you give yourself to uplift your mood, get you to start taking care of yourself? And even in a lot of cases, and this may sound taboo to a lot of people, putting yourself first, right? Because we've said this in the past that you can't give from an empty bucket. You've got to fill your bucket to the point where it's overflowing into the bucket of others around you. You got to learn to really take that to heart.
Yeah. And that's all I have. Do you have any points there, Ray?
Just a couple, you know, along the same lines as the do's and don'ts that you did, I have the if-then thinking. And this is a little bit more progressive, I think, as far as things that you can put into action in your life. So think in terms of if-then. If I wake up, then I drink a liter of water. If I go to a restaurant, then I choose these specific foods. If I feel too tired to go to the gym, then I go for a walk instead. So this if-then thinking is best done before it's needed, right? You've got to think in terms of setting responses to obstacles in your life and to triggers. So like I say, if you wake up in the morning, if you're lucky enough to wake up in the morning, then I meditate, or then I drink a liter of water. Think in terms of, if, you know, if I get home from work, then I do this. Then I put my workout clothes on and I go right to the gym or something along those lines. So
okay, I love it.
It's an easy way just to implement, and you know, the same kind of if then thinking as the do don't think, but a little bit more like something you can implement right now. And then the only other thing is I have it is to change your thinking about metabolism. Here's the thinking. I want you to think, I do not have a slow metabolism. Why? Because you do not have a slow metabolism. Right. Barring some major thyroid, untreated thyroid problem, you do not have a slow metabolism. Diabetics have a fast metabolism, faster metabolism than people who are non-diabetic. And in fact, when diabetics control their blood sugar with the right kind of lifestyle changes, their metabolisms drop. Obese people have higher metabolisms than fit people do generally. And when they lose the weight, their metabolisms decrease. So you do not have a slow metabolism. That is something I think that holds people back and makes them susceptible to ads that sell thermogenic products and those types of energy type foods and drinks and capsules and tablets.
Right.
You don't have a slow metabolism. You don't have a metabolism problem at all. Generally, you've got a fat storage problem, which is a totally different animal.
Right. It's completely the other end of the spectrum.
Right.
I love that. That might fall right in line with number one. Why? I love that one.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's almost like a negative self-talk issue there. Awesome. I think that was a great podcast. I hope everyone out there enjoys it.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet, guys. Don't forget, you can find us on Facebook, Cut the Fat Podcast. Feel free, please, we encourage you guys to go on and post up questions. You can message us through Facebook as well. We're pretty good about getting back to people in a short amount of time and answering all the questions that we can. Don't forget, we have the Cut the Fat Coaching Club. And if you guys are interested in getting involved, Ray, when are we opening the next registration?
Well, it doesn't really help to say because we don't know when people are listening to this episode.
True.
But just go to cutthefatcoachingclub.com. If it's open, you'll be able to get in and get started. If it's not, you'll see a box that says, you know, get on the list, get on the waiting list. And then as soon as we open
it
up.
And then when it does open.
We will send you an email out and you can get right in there.
Cool. Cool. Awesome. Yeah, that's great. Well, virtual high five.
All right. You got it.
See you guys.
All right. See ya.